Okay, here we are back, hour number two, and we're talking to Brett. Major George Filer is with us. Frank Chile is with us. So the question on the table at the moment, Brett, is this craft that came over you 150 feet, high noonish, could you see any detail? What would you say the width of it was? Give us, 50, 75 feet, 35 feet, whatever.
I'd say it's probably similar to the size of a fighter, like an F-18.
Uh-huh. 35 feet, something like that?
I wouldn't say more than that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is definitely a sport version.
And it was just a clean V. No bumps on it, no texture, nothing?
It wasn't like that thing I saw when I was 20 that was really a uniform looking, this wasn't uniform. It was a V, but there was a slight curvature. Instead of straight lines from the points, there would be slight curvature to the points.
And sounds kind of neat.
It was very impressive looking, and it was clearly, some kind of metal of some kind. There was something centered in the bottom of it that was, concentric, that extended out slightly from the bottom of it. And there was other defining features that were, in other words, it wasn't completely smooth around that circle in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
But I couldn't, and there wasn't any lights on it. But I was so stunned by its coming straight. I mean, it was a moment for me.
Oh, well, come on. I mean,
I'd been built. I mean, I'd been shown many things by the time this happened. So I guess I was kind of. I mean, obviously, I was ready for it. But it's still. My brother told me he had one come at him like that once, and he told him not to do that anymore because it was really startled him. And then from then on, he didn't have that happen anymore.
There's really a link. You and your brother have a link. This is a big time thing, a major story, and I'm very grateful to hear it. The craft was going about. What velocity would you say? How fast was it moving when it went over? These are really hard questions, I know.
It is, because we're not used to seeing something.
Well, you're in shock, and you're just, time is very difficult to measure.
120, 100, I wouldn't say over 150.
Wow. And no one else that you heard about saw it.
No, but that's usually the case.
Always. Unfortunately.
There can be the most amazing sighting. And I mean, every once in a while, other people see them. But it's amazing how, I guess it's just because people just assume that they were the only ones that saw it. And maybe people don't want to report it. Who do you really report it to anyway?
Mm-hmm. MUFON is getting about 2,000 reports a month.
Yeah.
MUFON.com. It's becoming more, viable. People are getting interested. I'm getting 3 to 4 million hits a month on my website.
Oh my goodness!
How much do you get, Jeff? You get a lot more than that.
I don't know. That's a lot of hits.
Wow!
You're a hit. What can I say?
The point is that the world is starting to wake up.
I hope so. I'm with you. I believe so too.
We're getting some hints that the Pope and the President may say something along these lines. It's at least worth listening to.
That's not a president, but whatever.
Well, we don't. This may just be rumors, but I'm just saying that I think it's significant that he's.
Well, he's going to steal Father Balducci's flame, as he's trying to do, right? All right, he's going to steal his thunder. Well, whatever. It's just time to end this stupid charade. And let's just tell people the truth. And I think, Brett, that's why you're here and why you wanted to be here. It's time. It really, we're way past time. We have
totally agree with that.
We have a birthright to this. This is our world, our galaxy, our universe. It's not theirs. Our controllers don't own it. This makes me sick. All right.
Me too.
Frank, anything you want to add, Frank Chile?
Two quick questions for Brett. Was your experience in flying a direct result of having been in the military? And the second question is, when did you take your first photograph of the craft or the ships?
I did not. I'm not military trained. I was civil side. And the first time, my brother was big on filming. I wasn't really big on filming them. The only time I really filmed them was with a Super 8 camera when my oldest daughter was roughly 3 years old.
Super 8 camera. Wow.
Uh-huh.
You remember Spielberg's movie Super 8? Did you go see that?
Ooh.
What a fun movie.
Yep.
I must be thinking of it. Oh, I'm thinking of a different movie. Movie I was thinking of was not a good movie. So I didn't see Super 8.
Spielberg made a very, very entertaining film, Super 8. That and the biggest film of last summer was Johnny Depp's The Lone Ranger. Something happened in Hollywood and the movie was panned before it was released and crushed at the box office. I went to see it twice. That's how good it was. So if you want to see a great film, entertaining, beautifully photographed, wonderful story, great acting by Depp and the other guy too. Army Hammer, like Armand Hammer, I think. Anyway, terrific film, The Lone Ranger from last summer. Okay, excuse my interruption.
Can I make it?
Of course you can, George. Go ahead.
Look, he mentioned about the fingerprints. And the fingerprints have come up quite a few times.
On computer screens?
Well, on computer screens and also on...
Windows.
Automobiles.
Ah.
Windows and automobiles that, you know, it appears that they've picked up their cars or whatever. In any case, mm-hmm. the small fingerprints are there. And that if people have, you know, a strange occurrence, they should look for fingerprints or other evidence. Like if they think they come through the ceiling, they should look at the ceiling to see if there's any marks on the ceiling or often almost like little droplets of sand or whatever. In other words, that if you think you've been abducted, if you feel open about it, call the police and say somebody was here, you know, and they're leaving some evidence. I'm just saying that this evidence can be important for the future convincing of people.
Yeah.
Besides photographs, people get good photographs, they say, well, you made it in the, you know, the photo lab or whatever.
I had David Jacobs on Wednesday. His new book is out, Walking Among Us. And David, of course, is a terrific scholar, and it's been 15 years since his book, The Threat, and his new one out, Walking Among Us, is well worth getting, well worth it. He was quite a guest. Yeah.
He's a kind of a neighbor of mine.
You know him really well. Okay.
And,
George, go ahead.
They are walking among us, at least.
I know. Well, we've heard your stories. I know, especially the big blonde.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we have not a whole. We have 45 minutes or so. We have 40 minutes, but I want to get to the big events here. So move right along at your own pace, Brett, please. But let's get to the highlights, and you've got a million of them, I'm sure.
Yeah, the one I just explained, that's probably one of the most amazing things.
Not a sound.
No, it was dead silent. Yeah.
Wow. And could you see any texture on it at all? The curve, it sounds like the elegance of the design of the wings was obviously unforgettable. Anything on the craft, lights, textures, lines, nothing, just smooth.
It was smooth from, there's that center point that's like concentric, you know, circle in the middle of the bottom of this thing.
Okay.
And but the metal surrounding that going out to the edges of the craft, it appeared to be curved, and it was smooth.
Huh. All right.
I mean, like something, you know, that we would make, but it was more elegant than anything I've ever
seen. Well, ask Mark to tell them I'm ready, and that they should come down here and fly over my house.
Well, I can help you with that.
Because, well, I'm ready.
One of the things you can do is, I spent a couple of nights I'd stand outside all night long and send really literally messages out, and I guarantee you, if you're willing to do that, you will have things happen that just will blow you away. But it does take some time, and you can use one of those, you know, I don't know what they call them, 10 million candle powered lights. That's a good way to shoot a message up there. Do 9 dashes, you know, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Sort of universal greeting. That works pretty good because light, you know, it gets out there. It definitely can bring things,
really?
You know, and then eventually, yeah, but eventually, you know, once you kind of get the sightings going, it's just basically...
You're saying you can call them up.
Well, it doesn't mean they always show.
I understand, but you can make the call.
It's definitely telepathic.
All right.
Whatever these beings are, they have the ability to hear you when you call them.
Understood.
And I can't explain that.
But. No, you don't need to. That's understood. Okay, thank you for that. I'll get a chaise lounge, get bundled up, get a little cool at night, and go out there spend a few hours.
You get some more people, a few people that are interested at the same, with an open heart and open mind, and it definitely will happen. It's just a matter of, you know, sending the energy, transmit. Like
understood.
You're praying.
I hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
All right. Very good.
Let's see. After that.
What year would that have been, approximately? I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm trying to keep
it. That particular sighting, I don't have a date on that one.
Uh-huh.
I don't. I was shuttling back and forth to Seattle.
What, in the 80s? 80s?
No, it was much more recent than that. I would say early 2000s.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, that helps.
Now, as far as, you know, asking them to come, so I'll jump to, this was a really amazing situation that happened. My brother and my mother came out to visit me in Virginia. We've tried to nail down the time, but 2004, 2005, somewhere in there. My brother and I went driving into town. We had some StarCraft sightings. There's one field by a Target out there that's a good spot, swath of the sky, and I took them there, and we literally called them in, and they came. And so that was really exciting. And we were kind of at this place after all these years where it's like, what next? I mean, where are we? What is all this about? We say hi. They say hi. I mean, so we were like, why don't we tell them we want to meet them and see what happens? So we were like, let's take this thing to the next level. So my brother and I agreed that we were going to do that. We you know, we sent a message out there, and when we got home, my mom had stayed at home, at my home, and she was, you know, fiddling around in the kitchen. And this is back when I had a hard line in the house, and it had caller ID on it. And the phone rang when we were pretty pumped up because we'd already had some sightings that day, and so the energy was high. And the phone rang, and I went to the phone, and the number on it, the caller ID, was 1111111.
Oh, that belongs to a good friend of mine. I'll tell you later.
Okay. That was, I was like, that's weird.
Yeah, that is
nobody,
weird.
Nobody there.
Of course. There's a message madness. Yeah.
Right. Well, then the next thing that happened, I mean, literally a couple of minutes later, the dog starts barking on the front porch, and the doorbell rings.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Nobody there.
I go to the door. There's nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the strangeness of this was like out of control, and I kind of feel well. And then later on, we didn't discover it right away, but some days later, we ended up finding that we had a 24-foot swath of ground out on the side of the house that nothing grew on for a couple of years after that. And
potential landing site, something.
Somehow, but what was strange about it was that so my brother and I figured that they came to say hi just like we had asked them to, and we missed the moment because we couldn't see them.
Mm-hmm.
They called, they knocked, they rang the doorbell. It stresses your perceptions of reality when you have these experiences, because these beings are operating outside of your visual acuity and your senses, and yet they're leaving physical evidence, the
right.
Burn marks on the ground, they leave fingerprints on the windows, they hit the doorbell, they hit the telephone. It's like, so anyway, that was a pretty amazing event that, we kind of felt like, if we had have grabbed the moment better, perhaps we could have tried to communicate and in a better way.
Well, it's not over. You got plenty of time. You're a young man, so.
Right. There, hopefully, there'll be another opportunity. So that was a pretty interesting event. And I'm just looking at a few notes here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll share another event that was very strange. That was related. My wife and I were having some trouble, and this is going down the road now, more like 2009 or so.
Mm-hmm.
We had driven away from the house. Our marriage was really on the rocks at this point, but we were having a
sounds like you
day.
Have about as much luck as I have.
Oh, I have zero luck in that department. But I have learned a lot, for whatever it's worth.
Oh, they're heroines all. Let's be honest. We come to their rescue; they just don't recognize it.
I think you're right.
I'm just teasing. All right. Anyway, go ahead.
So we were driving out of the house. We had a StarCraft sighting. This is daytime. And as we got out onto the highway and we're driving down 29 towards the airport,
mm-hmm.
I looked over at her and I said, Grace, do you ever wonder who else is seeing these things or seeing these StarCraft? And I wonder if anybody else calls them that,
Mm-hmm.
It was like, or is it just us? So I put the question out there, and literally a mile down the road, this car ends up in front of me, and this car was a car that my very best friend, when I was in fifth grade, his dad drove one. It's an old International truck,
uh-huh.
And you don't see him on the road anymore. This was exactly like his truck, and on his license plate, it said StarCraft.
Oh, my. You had to laugh out loud at that or say something. I don't know what it would be, but that's wild.
I to this day, I'm like, what? How is that even possible? But anyway, that happened. I still, to this
sure.
day, wonder. It makes me wonder about the reality that we're moving through and if the reality we're in is even what we think it is. If, it's tied somehow more to our thought than it is being an object.
Exactly. Understood.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. We did have a sighting. I don't know what year this was. It was probably before my girls were born. We were flying out of Hilton Head, and we were coming towards Charlotte. That was like 11,000 feet. It was like 11 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And my first officer said, hey, look at this. And I look out the window, and there's this ball right outside the right side of the airplane, about a mile off the, off the nose.
Did you have cargo or passengers?
Passengers.
And they had to see it too, some of them. Think.
Maybe, but the configuration of this plane, it would have been
difficult.
More challenging than in
okay.
some. Yeah, but of course, they'd have to be looking.
Uh-huh.
And that's the big problem, is that people just aren't looking a lot of times. But this thing, my eyes, as soon as my eyes hit it, I was like, it's a balloon. I mean, it's interesting how fast the mind wants to categorize and pigeonhole stuff. But it was, I was like, balloon. The only problem was that this thing was doing about 700 miles an hour in horizontal flight, and it passed us like we were standing still. And
there's a market for those balloons.
I want one. no wings, no defined. This thing was just a black ball, like a 22-foot bowling ball, if you can imagine such a thing. And it shot past the airplane, got up to about our 11 o'clock position, and then it did a course reversal. And when it did that course reversal, like if a fighter was next to you, he'd have a thin profile. When he turned, you would see, you know, the shape of the bottom of the plane. And it would completely shift the way it looked. Well, this thing was a ball the entire time. There was no wing, no tail, nothing. And you have to ask yourself, how does a ball, you know, make a course reversal, or even how was it flying anyway? So that was an interesting sighting. I've never seen anything like that since. That was unusual. I'm not sure it was alien. I mean, it you know, I could see us building something like that.
Well, that's the big question, you know, ours, theirs. But we always seem to come back to the decision that certainly some might be ours, but there are far too many different configurations of these craft for us to be doing it. And they do things that are just wild.
Well, and then they also show themselves.
They
and,
do.
Which is, you know, and then we realize that we have other beings to contend with. You know, during the 2012, I was out of work for 2.5 months. And it was a very, very challenging time of my life, because everything that I had worked for in life was on, it was, everything was, I stood, the possibility existed that I would lose everything. And it was an interesting time, because it made me surrender, because I couldn't control the outcome of things. And it sort of jump-started me spiritually again. It was really interesting. But during that 2.5 months, the gal that I was with, her name was Heather, we ended up having amazing contact experiences. They weren't always super positive, but they were amazing.
How so? Give me an example, just one.
Well, a contact experience.
Now, you're talking about face-to-face with a little humanoid-looking...
Not exactly like that, but like we'd had ships come over the house pretty low and slow. I mean, under 100 knots.
They didn't open a hatch and drop a ladder down to you or anything?
Well, I think they did something like that, but I didn't see a hatch and a ladder, but they definitely ended up in the house.
They were in the house with you?
Well, the girl that I was with...
We're going to go through this too, Todd. I want to hear this.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, this gal, she was psychic. And amazingly, so like Edgar Casey psychic, she could do medical readings and all kinds of stuff like that, but she could pick up energy like I've never seen anywhere.
Well, people can do it.
The beings that were interested in, because, and she also, you know, she's arch negative and she's got all that going on, so she's spliced with them. And these beings literally were, they were literally feeding on us.
Okay, that opens a door. Feeding how? Spiritually, physically, psychically?
Energetically.
You were tired? You were feeling drained?
No, sex energy. They feed on sex.
Okay.
They feed on sex energy.
Uh-huh.
And possibly fear.
All right.
Not sure about that, but definitely sex energy.
So it's a pretty primal kind of interaction.
Well, yeah, because they, yes.
Not and, no, is no intellect, I hear, at all.
No, I mean, this is more like addiction.
This is not good. All right. Not the kind of thing we want to hear. But
well,
whatever it is. It's okay.
Yeah, well, it's just one of the things going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not that it's this or that, but it's this and that and that and that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And but these, anyway, these were dragons of some kind. And
reptilians?
Yes.
They had reptile-looking skin, that kind of thing?
Yeah, and the first time she actually saw it, you know, we were making love, and she actually saw this thing in the room, and it completely stopped what was going on. She was completely terrified.
Yeah.
And she'd never seen it. This is the first time this happened. And then when she explained it to me, it was like, well, I think I know what that is. And I showed her some pictures, and she said, this is exactly what I just saw.
The sure artist drawings of the face of a reptilian?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, they're here. You may be being visited by more than one species.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this didn't last. We found out how to get rid of these dudes. And
They're not nice. They're not nice.
Before that happened, though, they were uploading from her. They told her they were uploading from her.
Mm-hmm.
And they were communicating with her psychically, and they also told her that they did not like me, and that I'd better watch it.
Really?
Which was interesting. Yeah.
Oh, a little possession in the works here, it sounds like.
Well, you know, I think that because I kind of think I don't think they like people knowing what they're up to.
Yes, I've heard that before, not very often, but the reptilians got bad press, and I think it's deserved. You have many other kinds that don't. George's friends are the tall blondes, and they're very gentle and kind for the most part, as far as I can gather from what I've heard over all these years. George, what about the
The Durians?
I don't know what name. Them? No, we call them the tall blondes. George may have another name for them. They're blonde,
Nordic.
Blue-eyed. They're Nordics. They look Nordic. They look like us,
yes.
Exactly. I mean, they pass. They just look like us. They're
right.
Just tall, blonde, blue-eyed, Aryan Nordics.
Very attractive.
Yeah. All right, George. All right. Good. We know. George's dream girl. Okay. Now, he came down the escalator or the stairs in a department store, and tell us what happened, George.
Well, I happened to come down the stairs the escalator, and I looked over at a very beautiful woman who looked like she was like giving a course in, you know, how to put on your makeup. You've probably seen those in various stores.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, I said, you know, that to me, she looked like she was an alien, you know, one of these Nordic blondes. And she looked at me up on the escalator and ran out of the store. So I guess I frightened her. Now, I guess she may have been not actually an alien, just was frightened anyhow. But most people think I'm at least, you know, average looking. So, and, well, other people who are aware that some of the aliens you see in Walmart and so on may not be from this planet. And if you give that information, through your mind at them, they sometimes react in strange ways that would indicate that they're picking up what you're teleporting towards them, so to speak.
Right.
I don't have any problem with them. I'd like to be friends with them, be honest with you.
Absolutely. And even the ones that are scary, I would really like to just, if we could just get to a place where we can start to get past the partitions that are between us so that we can bridge this gap. We're all beings in this universe. I would like to be in a place where we weren't being like treated like cattle.
Well, we are, and we're actually being treated by cattle by some of our own, allegedly, on this planet, and that's particularly
right,
disconcerting.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. So you had the reptilians are notoriously very base, very crude. I won't say mean, but I won't say they're nice, particularly nice folks either. That's
right.
My general understanding of them. They're perverts, is what they are.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Go on. This is really a great narration. I'm enjoying it immensely. So are people all around the world. They're listening, and you are probably talking to people more than you could guess who have had similar experiences and will never talk about it.
Right. Well, exactly. During the same 2.5 months, it wasn't just reptilian energy. There was other. See, this girl I was with had just opened herself up to this phenomena, so it was almost like she was being introduced to a lot of these different beings, and she needed to find her discernment with them. This
Got
is
it.
I'm speculating.
Yeah.
But yeah, but because I didn't really have that stuff going on until she was with me, and she's a dragon in a way. So, you know, I could see their interest in her. And so we had some other visitors. There was one other event that stands out during that 2.5 months, and we were in the bedroom and we were getting ready for bed, and we heard a beeping sound out in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally you start thinking about all your devices. Okay, what do I have that makes this beeping sound?
Yeah, battery is running low or whatever.
Right, yeah. What smoke detector? But
there
anyway, we determined that it wasn't any device that we have.
Uh-huh.
And shortly thereafter, she was sitting on the side of the bed, and all of a sudden she started squirming around. It was the crazy thing to watch, and she felt like she was being probed very rapidly by a being.
Okay.
Not a reptilian. She doesn't know what it was, but it wasn't that type of an energy. She knew that. And she wasn't scared, it happened so fast and it overtook her so fast, it caught her off guard, and
uh-huh.
that kind of frightened her.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had had a number of frightening experiences, and we had figured out that to get rid of these things, all we had to do was to concentrate our energy in prayer and ask for the angels and ask for the avatars to come and to protect. And bang, instantaneously, they would go through their porthole and be gone. And this was true with the reptilians.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it was instantaneous. Yeah.
We tell the abductees to do that.
Oh, George?
We tell the abductees to do that, and it seems to work in many cases.
Good. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, we discovered that it did. It seemed to work, and so that was, we were excited about that. And but this one event, the next thing that happened was that there was a humming sound over the entire top of the house, and the whole house was vibrating literally like there was. I mean, in my mind's eye, we literally visualized that there was a ship right on top of our house.
There might have been.
Yeah, and then that faded, and then that experience, we heard a couple more beeps, and then the whole thing was completely over. It was done.
Mm.
And that was the last of, but so this, we had, you know, it was an interesting couple of months there where we were having, StarCraft sightings too. It wasn't all negative stuff, but there definitely was some unusual type of contact, that type of contact, you know, energy.
Have you ever had any direct one-on-one telepathic communication, conversation, exchange of ideas, information, questions, anything like that? Have you gotten to that point? Or you're doing a marvelous job describing this, by the way. And it seems to be almost a standoff kind of relationship. They're not endeavoring to engage you in what we would call a conversation. They're interacting on their own terms, in their own way, at their own time. It's very interesting to hear this.
Well, what ended up emerging from it was that my brother and I went through a period of time where his big thing was filming him, and my big thing was documenting time sequences.
Mm-hmm. Now you have...
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, so we started, you know, documenting time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do this in the airplane, too, when I'd have sightings. And again, I have a clock right on the glare shield, so it was, you know, it was really convenient. And what was weird was there was this crazy synchronicity with 11s. And over time, we started looking at this and thinking, well, this is beyond coincidence. I mean, this keeps showing up. It's 1111, you know, series of ones. And, you know, and I kind of had the idea, well, maybe they're trying to get the idea of, you know, oneness across to us, you know, that everything is one. And, you know, the Ra, the god Ra.
I understand.
Yeah, he was all about the law of one, you know, the one God, everything's one. Well, and intellectually I got that, but it wasn't until recently that I took it to another level. And
all right, we've got to take a break, and when we come back, let's hear that. This is our last segment coming up, so we'll have about 12 minutes or so to kind of get to the end of this story that is obviously amazing. Back in a second. Hold on. Let's get right back to Brett and talking with a most remarkable man, very articulate, extraordinarily clear descriptions of things that are really indescribable. So go ahead, please, Brett. We're right here.
Okay. I want to back up a little bit now, because the whole thing came together with the numbers from my brother and I, and we started realizing that these beings, if you can imagine a being that is not time bound and wanted to communicate something that could save us, but they couldn't do it directly by sitting across from you, they had to give you clues and you had to figure it out. What message might it be? And this is the thing that I came to. But I want to back up to one event that is going to help point to what I'm saying.
Okay.
Back, I don't know what year it was a long time ago. First divorce, wife was gone. I was working on, I had a 300ZX, had a bent spindle on it, and which is the rear wheel, independent rear suspension, okay? I was kind of a backyard mechanic, so I thought, well, I'm going to fix this thing. And I ordered the part, and I started working on it in the morning, got the thing jacked up. I got the spindle off. It took a slide hammer to get off. I had to rent the slide hammer. I didn't know I was going to have to do that, but I did that. So I put a slide hammer on this thing, and I banged this thing off. And it didn't occur to me that I probably wasn't going to be able to get that together with my hands, because it would take a hydraulic press to get it back on.
Oh, sure.
And so, and it was my only car, and I had to be at work the next day at 5 o'clock, and now I'm out on 22 acres out in the woods in Lynchburg, or Huddleston, actually, and I had a disabled car. And anyway, I'm tenacious, and I worked on this thing. I mean, I heated parts, I froze parts, I hammered parts. There was no getting this thing on, okay? Mm-hmm. And by the evening time, the sun was going down, I was exhausted and basically ready to bust into tears. And so I was underneath this car, and I finally hit this point of surrender. And I just went into meditation and prayer, and I completely gave up. I knew that I was completely beat. I wasn't going to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I surrendered, and I prayed, and when I got done with that, that was, I don't know, 3, 4, or 5 minutes, I reached up and grabbed that part, and I slipped it on with my bare hands.
Oh, my. That's very interesting, and I believe you. Things like that I've heard once in a while. They used to call it mind over matter, but things can happen. Things can happen like that. Go ahead.
I ended up pigeonholing it as a miracle, and of course it was a miracle, but the problem is, and I never could really integrate that event into my daily life and be able to do that with everything.
Sure.
But later on, it occurred to me that I made a mistake by pigeonholing it, and what I needed to do is analyze what actually happened there. And in analyzing it, I realized that what happens is when you surrender, the ego, the little I, gets out of the way. And this is important, because what happens is that when the little I is in the way, that's the one that's overly associated with what you see in the mirror, that person. The big I, the one that connects you to the everything, is allowed to actually go in and make any adjustment that's necessary to whatever it is that you're working on. Okay, but you have to surrender. You have to get out of the way in order to do that. Once you do that, everything is completely possible. And this ties to the one thing, the one that these ETs, I believe, were trying to explain to my brother and I, the key to unlock the prison that we're in, the DNA prison that we're in the human body, the key to unlock it is to understand your oneness and your oneness with all that is. And when you finally figure that out at a deep enough level, the game is over and you're not bound anymore. Because what's happening is that we've been engineered to be locked in this in the human body, and it's not by God; it was by extraterrestrials. And essentially, what's happened is that we're in a DNA prison that's completely seamless, and we don't even know that there is an out, but there is an out, and the out is understanding your oneness with Source, because you are that Source. We all are. And once we figure that out, it changes the game. And we're not, but this is what I got from 35 years of getting ones from them. And through the help of a mutual friend of Frank and mine, because he kept giving me this message. And it's the same message I heard over and over, that we are one, and they're us, and we're them. And I was like, what are they trying to get to us? And it's like, it's very simple, but we don't see it because we're so in a duality. Our minds are in the dual, and we're stuck in the body dream, and we don't understand that the Source is running this body. And once you connect with that Source, everything is possible. And once we do that collectively, the game's over, in my opinion.
Very interesting. Frank, you have anything to add here?
Brett's being very articulate, and he's expressing things so simplistically and yet so profoundly. Brett, I had two quick questions for you. Have either you or Mom been taken on board, correct?
Not that I know of.
Okay. And the
now, my brother, I think, is he's had experiences that could be construed as that, but I have no knowledge of that for me.
Okay. And the other quick question is, the Super 8 footage that you had at your daughter's filming of your daughter, can you describe that craft?
Oh, the one that I filmed with Ariana. Yes, it was a star craft, which is basically, you know, it's a ship in its light form. And but when you filmed it, it's interesting because the way the eye sees it and the way the camera sees it's very different, which I thought was interesting, because when you see it visually, it looks like a star, literally. Yes. like down in the atmosphere, right, you know, close to you though. And when you put a camera on it and then you study the frames, like we had a Super 8, so we dropped it in the computer and looked at it, it didn't look that way at all. You can see the absolute black that you see in some of these photographs. By the way, did you get the photographs I sent you?
No, I have not gotten them yet.
Okay, well, they should be in your email. We sent like 10 of them to you. And some of them, we got some fingerprint, handprint, and UFOs in those pictures.
Great.
But, this thing is interesting, and we actually caught it disappearing on camera. So the ship, you know, will emerge into, you know, from the ether field right in front of you, and then we actually caught it disappearing back to wherever it came from on camera. It's pretty good footage.
Wow. Yeah. That's great footage.
This was daylight? This was daylight, right?
Oh, yeah, it's daylight, yep.
Most interesting. Okay, George, we got about just 2 minutes left here. Step on in here and summarize this 2 hours for us. You've got 120 seconds.
Well, you've done a lot of wonderful things, and I had a similar experience. It's probably too long to go into tonight, but the fact is that when you give up angels or this other source comes in and helps you, which has happened to me as well.
And so that's nice.
I think it's important for people to realize that there is help out there. And that,
yes.
You know, people have different names for it, God, angels, Jesus, etc. But there does seem to be help out there. And I think the world would be much better off if we use that help a lot more. And I think Brett's told us many great, wonderful things that should be listened to. And that experience can go further, that almost anyone out there can also try to get that same experience by asking them to come, and eventually they'll come. I know that's true as well.
That's something that I've heard since I've been involved in this business, not nearly as long as you have, but if you don't ask, you don't get.
Right.
So sometimes you do, but it helps to ask, and it's okay. It's okay to ask. Right, Brett?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Surrender and ask, and get, when we get the little eye out of the way, amazing things happen.
Right. Well, anything you want to add to your marvelous narration here of this extraordinary life you've had? You're a young man. You've got a lot of years left. And what would you like to happen that hasn't happened yet?
I would like to see
beside a successful marriage.
Right. That should be the first one on the list. I would like to see humanity challenge their five sense antennae.
Mm-hmm.
And realize that their antenna, the antenna of their senses, has been constructed. And in so being constructed, it was programmed for very specific experience. And the source of what you are exceeds all of those things, but the only way you can get to it is to pull away from your senses to connect with your source. And when you do that, you can rewrite your DNA.
Wow.
And that's what happens with the saints and the avatars when they exhume them and their bodies have not rotted, because mm-hmm. these people came in contact with their source in mm-hmm. a conscious way. And when mm-hmm. you do that, it rewrites your DNA. And then we can, and that's how we can break the prison that we're in.
Very good. Very well stated.
If they want to read
more
ahead,
about
it, they should ask for my filer's files at majorstar@verizon.net.
Yeah, if you want a free subscription, George's marvelous weekly publication, write to your mailbox, your electronic mailbox. Just write to George at majorstar@verizon.net.
And
right, George?
We plan on having some of Brett's
photos,
interesting information in there.
Oh, good. Well, it's one of your feature stories for sure.
Absolutely. I will write you, too. That's awesome.
Frank Chile, thank you, my friend, again, for everything, putting this together.
Thank you. Very kind of you.
Just a remarkable story.
Thank you,
Brett.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, goodies are coming.
You're welcome.
Jeff. Love you.
All right.
Gentlemen,
okay.
Thank you so much for having me on air.
Thank you, Brett.
Good night now.
Good night.
Hey,
okay.
Good night.
Well, Frank and George, extremely well-spoken, very articulate, and a man who is 100% committed to putting this out there for whomever wants to know about it. So thank you both again, and we'll talk soon. Back in just a few minutes.